Sadler. St. Helena, California, July 6, 1906. Elder Sadler. Dear brother, I greatly desire that you shall understand all things clearly. I had hoped to answer your letter of April 26th long before this, but I have had many important matters on my mind which required first attention. To some of the questions asked in your letter, answers have been given me. For an answer to some of your questions, I am instructed to refer you to statements already published. I am instructed to testify to you and to all that the character of my work and my messages has not changed. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 4. In ancient times, God spoke to men by the mouth of prophets and apostles. In these days, he speaks to them by the testimonies of his Spirit. There was never a time when God instructed his people more earnestly than he instructs them now concerning his will and the course he would have them pursue. But will they profit by his teachings? Will they receive his reproofs and heed his warning? God will accept of no partial obedience. He will sanction no compromise with self. Testimonies for the Church 4, 148. The great antidote for physical and spiritual disease is the truth of God abiding in the soul by living faith, guiding the life. With this in our possession, we can believe, and we can receive from the great missionary the power promised for service. Why are we engaged in medical work? Is it not that by holding fast to Bible truth as an antidote against the malaria of infidelity and all the false science the enemy would introduce, our sanitariums shall stand forth as lights in the world? In them, God and man are to be united in the grand work of saving the souls and the bodies of the afflicted. The sick may be given a hope for this world, and through faith they may be fitted for eternal life in the heavenly courts. We should have sanitariums in many places, standing as educational centers, where the heavenly messengers will be welcome. As the Lord's messenger, I have been bidden to exert every influence I possess to encourage the workers in our sanitariums to be a blessing in restoring the sick to health and in ministering the Word of God, pointing the afflicted to the great healer of the sin-sick soul. Over and over again, I am to testify that true religion consists in practicing the words of the living God. Unless the love of Jesus is kept alive in the soul, piety will vanish as flax before the flame. The truth of God is to be exalted in our sanitariums. Obedience is to be maintained. The managers, the physicians, the nurses must experience its power. The law of God is to be held sacred in spite of every contrary influence and all opposing sentiments. The religion of Jesus Christ can guide, can purify. When He is our wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, then we are a savor of life. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. Causes of weakness. There are some in our sanitariums who have developed a spirit of secularism, a spirit which would lead to the abolition of Christianity. When individuals possessing this spirit begin to exert a molding influence on other minds, it is better to separate them from the institution. There is sure to be a low standard maintained by those who have no respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. They beguile the unwary, and they make an easy conquest of those who are not deeply religious. To the workers we must say, do not allow yourselves to be beguiled or ensnared by the cunning craftiness of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive ignorant, unwary souls. Those who disparage the atonement of Christ, and consider that the religion of Christ is unsatisfactory, and stand in the way of bringing about so-called reforms, those who tear down the very foundations of faith in the Word of God, are a peril to the Christianity and morality of those who are brought in connection with them. There are many in our institutions who allow themselves to stand on a low level. When Christians are brought in contact with worldlings, there is but one safeguard, the truth as it is in Jesus. It behooves every surgeon, every physician, every nurse to keep himself free from commercial project which tends to divide his interests. Otherwise, he will work at a great disadvantage. Cherish faith. Brother Sadler, we must grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. Do not seek to unravel the mysteries that some have been studying regarding life and the deity. Let faith, not feeling, be your criterion. Your path may be marked by crosses, but it is your privilege, by perfect faith, to stand fast in the liberty of the gospel. Talk faith, rejoice in hope. Keep the praise of God in your heart continually. Do not depend upon excitement, and do not lose confidence in your leader, Jesus Christ. If we open our minds to the enemy, grave doubts, misgivings, and unbelief will come in. Go to the Word of God. Do not allow your faith to be shaken by some things that you do not understand. There are many things that I do not understand, but I expect to have them explained to me when Christ leads me to the rivers of the water of life. The Word of God is our safeguard. Study the Scriptures that speak of the greatness of our God and the glory of the cross. When the redeemed of the Lord, those who have kept His commandments, shall enter the pearly gates, Christ will reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before His ancients gloriously. Isaiah 24, verse 23. And He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee. For Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people His doings. When He maketh inquisition for blood, He remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all Thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in Thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they made is their foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which He executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Psalm 9, verse 8 to 16. The Lord is King forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of His land. Lord, Thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause Thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. Psalm 10, verse 16 to 18. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For, lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot privily at the upright in heart. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Psalm 11, verse 1 to 3. The answer is given. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence His soul hateth. Upon the wicked He shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Verses 4 to 7. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity every one to his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side, when the vilest men are exalted. Psalm 12, verse 1 to 8. There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion! When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Psalm 14, verse 5-7. False ideas. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men, to see if there were any that did understand, to seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord? Verses 1-4. As the Lord's messenger, I am instructed to say that this is a faithful representation of some who have had an abundance of light and evidence, but who are following a false standard of Christianity, which they have set up. They have lost the love of sweet communion with God. Strife and falsehood, rather than the flesh and blood of the Son of God, have been their meat and drink. Their light has gone out, and they pervert and misrepresent the gospel truth. I am instructed to say that many are entangled with false ideas of God and of Christ. The expression of their sentiments is as the sowing of tares among wheat. Their worldly plans and labors so affect their mind and character that they are disqualifying themselves for any part in the work of God. For they are turning away from His word to fables. Neither in speech nor in works do they exert that influence that commends them to the world as Christians. They have lost that genuine holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Let us heed the injunction of Christ. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew 11, verse 29. This is our time for service. This is our time to manifest faith. We must be able to discern between good and evil, and lead others to understand and love the truth. Let us remember that Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, and we are to be partakers of His divine nature. Brother and sister Sadler, the Lord has given you His word. Let His word abide in you. Be healthy, fruit-bearing branches of the living vine. Pray in the simplicity of a child. The Lord may not call you to some wonderful work, but He desires you to take up faithfully the humble duties which come in your way. Take heed how you receive from human lips theories that may prove to be as tares among wheat. By his specious argument, Satan is continually striving to press into our minds things which ought not to be there. We must make the words of Christ our food and drink. Even though we cannot see the end from the beginning, we may follow on to know more and more of what it means to walk in the light, as Christ is in the light.